Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Sports City. It's your boy TP Thomas back at the helm. The next 60 minutes, I've got y'all locked right here in Sports City's kitchen. Welcome to the Monday Night Sport Wrap-Up. Otta took off his blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside the kitchen. Timeless is alive.
With hoes. What's up, y'all niggas all fed up cause I got a little cheddar and my record's moving out the store. Young fuckers picking at me, young rappers getting at me. My nigga Big predicted this shit exactly. More money, more problems, gotta move carefully. Cause faggots hate when you getting money like athletes. Young as ice grilling me, oh, you not feeling me? Fine, it cost you nothing, pay me no mind. Look, I'm on my grind, cousin, ain't got time for fronting. Send to the thugs, y'all all need hugs. Damn, no, mans, I'm just trying to do me. If the record's 2 mil, I'm just trying to move 3. Get a couple chicks, get them to try to do E. Hopefully they're Menards before I reach my garage. I don't want much, fuck, I drove every car. Some nice cooked food, some nice clean drugs. Bird-ass niggas, I don't mean to ruffle y'all. I know you waking in the wing, but I'm doing my thing. Where's the love?
All right, Jake, I know we can get at this one. The calling up is 917-889-9592. Like I said, y'all got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chefs. And, man, let me tell you something. I got a big brother, co-chef, all of that all in one that have been holding me down for quite some time. And I pegged them with a nickname, and I called them Nostradamus. And boy, does that name stick firm to him. Now, the crazy stuff is Sports City, he said something in the middle of May that rocked right now, today, October 5th, 2015. Sports City, I need a warm welcome for Chandler Knight, a.k.a. Nostradamus. Welcome to the Wrap-Up. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm tired. But I'm finally, after 27 hours of driving, finally where I want to be.
In the state of Michigan, I love it. I love it. In the state of Michigan, that's what I need. That's what I need. I need you in the state of Michigan, man. Tell the people to get out their seats out there. Now, but welcome to the Grab. I'm glad to have you here, and I'm going to start with that topic first. But before I get to you, I got Aaron Sirius Simmons in the building. Welcome to the Grab. How are you feeling this evening?
You know, I feel some type of way. I guess no introduction or nothing. Like, my little brother holding down from the keys. You know, just Aaron in the building. Nostradamus getting his big ass welcome, his big ass intro. Man, I feel no love in the heart of the city. Jigga hit me once today, man.
Paul, ain't no love in the heart of Sports City. You feel me? So ain't no love for a dude that switch side. You feel me? Chiller. Like, what part of the game is it, right? When dudes switch from Pittsburgh to Baltimore in a matter of days. In a matter of days, they switch from Pittsburgh to Baltimore. I just don't get it. Chiller, if you get the opportunity to check it out, the dude's page is purple and black right now. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say.
This ain't about you.
You feel me? Now, if he wants some love, I'll give him some love. You know what I'm saying? Now, Sports City, I'm going to tell you what Sirius did, right? And I'm going to tell y'all the real truth before I start digging into these dishes and throwing them around the kitchen. What Sirius did, I'm a punk toward. I'm a punk. I'm going to admit it. I don't make them bets where you got to put somebody else's team on your wall for like a week or a month or a year. Like, I'm not doing that. No. I'm not going to sit up here and put a Green Bay. I'm not putting Aaron Rodgers on my page. I'm not putting Adrian Peterson on my page. And I'll be damned if somebody tells me to put Jay Cutler on my page. I just deactivate my account. I'm not doing it. I just pineapples. I really don't like that. I really don't. So Sirius got caught. Now he's purple and blacked out, Sports City. So I'm gonna let y'all know. That's what happened. And we was going back and forth for literally about an hour. We was going back and forth for about an hour. But I told him I was dropping the mic. I couldn't say anything else. I told him I didn't want to say no more. I didn't want to say no more. He knew me before records, and he never disrespected me. Now that we've been
successful.
Okay. So now let me get into it. 450, call the number 917-889-9592. I'm feeling the third way. I'm feeling good, though. Now, this is where I pegged it. And seriously, I didn't mean to say it like that just for Chandler. It ain't one said for you. But he said this in the middle of May, and I didn't want to believe him because what he was saying was about a guy that won the National League Manager of the Year last year. And I was like, they can't just pull the plug on him. Chandler was preaching this back in May. He'd be preaching it back in May and was saying it week after week after week. He was like, Ty, I'm telling you, he's gone. So this is in your area of the country right now, too, Sirius. I'll start with you first because I want to allude right into them after you're done. The Washington Nationals parted ways with Matt Williams today, 2 hours ago, after he just won a National League Manager of the Year last year and already has the National League World Club, supposedly. I don't know how things are going to end up panning out, but supposedly going to be the National League MVP being Bryce Harper. But your thoughts on the situation in the Rockets that you're hearing down there in D.C.? I can tell people are crazy down there already.
You know, honestly, dude, it comes as no surprise to anybody out here in the metro who's followed the Washington Nationals with a great regularity. You know, it's unfortunate. You know, this is a what hasn't done for me lately type of business. It doesn't really matter what you've done in years past. If you are picked to win the Fall Classic in preseason, you have all kinds of talent, all kinds of ability on your roster, and yet you failed to not only make the postseason, but to win at anything. You know, this team has underachieved, underperformed all year. The writing was on the wall all the way down. I mean, Chandler started preaching this in May, and that's pretty much when I, as, you know, a casual, I don't want to say a fan, so I'm not a fan of the squad, but I live here, so I go to the games enough. But, you know, as a casual watcher of the team, started seeing the writing on the wall for Matt Williams being released. And I don't want to say that's unfortunate, but again, when you start going over sports and you start going over managers and coaches, you got to produce. And with all the talent and all the clout that the Washington Nationals opened spring training with in April, you should have, you know, been able to, you know, at least make the playoffs. And again, Bryce Harper played, you know, the majority of the year, and he's all arguably the NL MVP. You have no excuse. So the fact that, you know, Matt Williams is gone, there's no surprise to anybody out here.
Okay, well, Taylor, I apologize. First and foremost, before I get it popping. I apologize because I was the one saying that I don't think it was going to end up going down. I really thought that they would give him like a, you know, 3-4 year window, especially after his first season. He did well with the organization. They got to a postseason run. Didn't really get far. But your thoughts on you know, with him leaving, where they're going to go next? There was a couple of interesting names that they threw out there, especially being in the Metro. They're actually thinking that possibly Cal Ripken Jr., but he's never managed a team. But your thoughts on what happened with Matt Williams leaving and who could possibly be the next guy up for the Washington Nationals?
Well, Matt Williams never should have won Manager of the Year, first of all. He got that because people liked him because he was a former player, and the media liked him when he was a player. He screwed up last year and cost them their playoff series when he pulled Jordan Zimmermann when he had no business pulling him in that game. Matt Williams never, ever, ever should have been a major league manager. He was overmatched. And then you come into this season, the National League East is terrible. The Phillies are trash.
The Braves blew up the team before the season started, traded away everybody. The Mets didn't want to spend any money. And you allowed Atlanta and the Mets to hang around all season. You spending all your time trying to chastise Bryce Harper, but in the meantime, the rest of the team is garbage. Okay? Mike Rizzo, the GM, should also have been fired today. The fact that he's been allowed to remain on as GM is a bad job by ownership. Mike Rizzo should have followed Matt Williams out the door. Okay? He fired Matt Williams to save his own job. But the fact of the matter is Matt Williams totally screwed this up. And the final nail in his casket was the Papelbon incident. How do you send Jonathan Papelbon out to pitch after he attacks the franchise player? And his response was, well, he's our closer. Really, dude? Really? 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 He's your closer. That's why you send him out there. Okay. I'm glad he's gone. But it's kind of too little too late because there's a lot of free agents that aren't going to come back, starting with Ian Desmond. You got Drew Storen. You got guys that ain't coming back. And when Bryce Harper becomes free agent, he's not coming back. Matt Williams is the reason the Nationals will be in last place for the next 10 years.
Wow.
Unless they hire Wally Backman as the manager. Cal Ripken does not need to be a manager. Cal Ripken, listen, I get everybody, oh, Cal Ripken, the Ironman. Cal Ripken he'll be a worse manager than Matt Williams. I'm going to say it right now. He will be a worse manager than Matt Williams. Okay? So if they hire him, oh, God. watch every player that has a shot to lead run out the door. Okay? The next manager the Nationals need to be Wally Backman. If it's not, that team will be in the basement for the next 10 years.
10 years? You really are hanging on to them struggling that long? Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. If you look at, listen, Strasburg's not coming back. Strasburg's gone. Ian Desmond is gone. Why Ryan Zimmerman was ever re-signed boggles my mind, because the guy hasn't been healthy his entire career. Oh, we need Ryan Zimmerman. He's a leader. He can't play a full season. Okay? He can't play a full season. You ruined Drew Storen, who's also going to be free agent. Drew Storen is leaving. You can't keep Papelbon, but Papelbon's coming back because no one's going to trade for him. So unless you're willing to eat $12 million, Papelbon is your closer next season because no one's going to trade for Papelbon. Okay? No one wants him. So you bring Papelbon back, you have another season of dysfunction in your clubhouse. Oh, and guess what? After next season, everybody else gets to leave too. So, yeah, the next 10 years, they'll be in the basement.
Do you think Bryce leaves before I get to the next baseball topic?
Yeah, Bryce Harper, listen. The minute his contract is up, Bryce Harper is skipping out of town. Okay? Skipping out of town.
No more DC.
He's coming to New York. You know that though.
Oh, good.
Bryce
Harper's
gonna be a Yankee in 2 years.
Okay. Yep. Look, you know, I'm double teamed by Yankee fans right now. This is terrible. I need help, Sports Today. I need help. Okay. One more topic, baseball, and I'm going to get to everything I need to. And this is serious right now, not Aaron Simmons serious, but this is bigger than serious right now. Chandler, I'm going to come to you first on this one, and this is a guy that we've been watching since the season started, especially off to his awkward start out of the gate, being CeCe Sabathia. CeCe Sabathia just entered himself into a rehab for alcohol purposes. Now, the Yankees are in a postseason push right now, and you don't know what you're going to get out of the Yankees. If these guys can survive the first round and make a push toward a World Series run, they have interesting names in the midst of this lineup to do it. But without one of their names, I might as well consider him a big name, but he's not playing up to what people expect in the play. But this is a bigger situation, and Cashman has come out with a statement and said that this is bigger than baseball. It's a life situation, and more or less it's something that he has to corral or get figured out. I mean, I'm using different words in this situation, but I definitely understand where Cashman is coming from. Chandler, do the Yankees use this as motivation to get this one for CeCe, or is this a situation where it kind of knocks him down a chink without one of their notable names within the roster?
You know, when I saw that scrawl come across my phone screen, a lot of things kind of fell into place for me. I'm not going to say I'm disappointed. I'm just sad. I'm just sad because CeCe Sabathia is a good guy.
Right.
He's a really, really good guy. He's a guy who goes back every year to the town that he came from and builds baseball fields and donates scholarships and you know, he does a lot of things, man, for kids and trying to help kids get out of bad situations and he's a guy who's every team he's been on, every single team, you can't find one guy to say something bad about him. You know, and that's rare. Especially for pitchers. He's a guy that the hell with baseball, he's just a good man. And when I saw that, like I said, some things fell into place. And namely, the situation that happened up in Toronto, you know, with the TMZ video where he kind of lost his mind, this, that, and the third. And it was like, wow, that's CeCe, really? I'm glad he's going to get some help. Let me say that. Again, like I haven't read any quotes from anybody. Yeah, it is bigger than baseball. It is bigger than baseball. You know, this is a guy who married his high school sweetheart. This is not one of those athletes who, you know, got money and decided to go marry some model and things like that. This is a guy who's a father. He's got to get some things in order. He really does. And I'm glad he's going to do it. The timing sucks, but you know what? Oh, well. If I had to choose as a Yankee fan between CeCe getting his life right and the Yankees winning the World Series, I'm going to choose CeCe getting his life right. I'm going to be real honest.
That's true.
I'm going to be real honest. Because this man got us a World Series, and this is a guy who pitched on 3 days rest in Milwaukee when he knew he wasn't coming back to that team. Okay? This is a guy who shortened his career with the things that he's done on behalf of his teammates and trying to help his teams win. So all I'm going to say is, you know, CeCe, I hope you get it together. This was probably a family decision. His wife is very active in the community as well. And this is the thing where I think he just maybe some, you know, they sat down as a family, he took a look around and said, you know what, I'm screwing up and I got to get it right. And so I applaud him for that, man. And if the Yankees don't win in the playoffs because we missing CeCe, oh, damn well. Okay, oh, well. But I'm not going to lie, man, I was shocked. I was shocked when I saw that.
And interesting enough, and I hate to kind of like tag the situation toward it, but it is interesting to throw it like that. Everything is happening to CeCe like right now. I mean, it's probably been, you know, spelling toward him for a while, but as of this season, as of the 2015 season, I mean, he's, you know, dealing with, you know, he actually came down with his weight issue. He lost weight and tried to get on the bump and pitch. His knee started bothering him. And now he's having a alcohol situation that he's trying to recover from. So, I mean, this is a very interesting situation for CeCe, a guy that's, you know, channeling a ton of money as of that contract that he has going on. But it's bigger than the money. It's bigger than the postseason push that the Yankees are trying to make. And not for nothing, I truly think, and I want you to answer this one too, Chandler, I think the Yankees can use this as something that is inspiring, that you know, without him, they got to come out there and play ball. They have to go out there and play ball. It could be one of those teams under the radar approaching the postseason, that could still shake some stuff up. I mean, a lot of people look at what Toronto's doing. A lot of people look at what the Royals are potentially going to be able to do, or you know, potentially sitting on top of the NL West and see what these guys can do as well. Everybody's overlooking the fact that the Yankees are still in this you know, situation to try and make a potential run at a World Series. Do you think that the Yankees do use this as motivation before I go to Sirius?
I think they do, in the sense that he came to the Yankees. It wasn't like something happened, and after the fact, you know, kind of like some of these other guys do, you know, they get in trouble. Oh, I got an issue. I was just reading it. He went to Girardi and said, listen, man, you know, we need to talk. And he laid it out for Girardi and said, my life is out of order. And Joe Girardi, for people that don't know, is a really good man. He's a spiritual guy. He's a people say religious. I'm gonna say spiritual. He's a good man, and Joe Girardi cares about his players, you know. And Sabathia addressed his teammates. They talked to the team and said, "Listen, this is what's going on with CC, and he's got to get some help," you know. So yeah, I think they will rally around this. It's not a thing where guys are gonna be mumbling about, "Oh, CC deserted us," or you know, he got in trouble. This is a thing where he you know. He went to the team and said, look, man, my life is out of order. And this is shocking to everybody because this is the last guy you would have expected it from. So yeah, I think this is something the Yankees kind of use as motivation. Now, can they use CC? I told you, I thought CC had one great game in him for the playoffs. I really did. Will we miss him? We absolutely will. But I think this is something that can galvanize the team. I absolutely do.
All right, Sirius, I know this is also your team right now. One of the notable big names on this Yankee roster is out for the postseason run and approaching, or he is checking himself into rehab as of now. Your thoughts on CeCe and, you know, where the Yankees go with their notable pitcher out of the roster for this time being?
You know, man, I really can't help but echo everything that Chairman just said. You know, it's unfortunate, yes. You know, as a Yankee fan, you know, you always want to throw your best, one of your best pitchers out there. You know, we got a one-game playoff tomorrow, and then, you know, we got to, you know, possibly go on the road and try to you know, get a World Series. However, you know, at the end of the day, this is about this man's health, and it's about him becoming a better man, and being the better man, not only for the New York Yankees, but his family and his, you know, and his kids. So I don't want to say it's unfortunate, because, you know, it's very fortunate that he was man enough to notice the problem, to acknowledge the problem, and then, you know, to put, you know, his own fame and fortune on the back burner, so to speak, to check himself into rehab and get help, you know. Like, Sam, when I saw the ticker, you know, this afternoon, I was like, oh, my God, you know, what the world is going on? I didn't understand what was going on, because, again, I thought he was just on the shelf for being injured, and this, that, and the third. But when I started to actually dive into it, you know, preparing for this afternoon's show, I start to understand actually what went on. And again, Chairman hit it on the head, you know, the whole TMZ thing in Toronto, then, I mean, everything is kind of lining up. So, again, I commend him for being a man about his responsibilities and, you know, saying, yo, I'm not okay, I need help. And then going to Girardi and, you know, the rest of the Yankee, you know, coaching staff and the ball club and the clubhouse and saying, yo, fellas, I'm not going to be here for this post-run. But I be with you guys in spirit, you know. I need to get my life right. I see you guys, you know, in spring training, hopefully a better man. I commend you for that. But, again, as a Yankee fan, it's going to suck, you know, trying to make this postseason run without one of your biggest names and one of your best arms. But, you know, at the end of the day, there's life after baseball. And as a family man, I commend him for stepping up and going and doing what he has to do to get his life right.
Yes or no question, and this is like a jump ball between the two of you. I kind of want to keep this. I have to say how it is. It's a bit negative, but it is positive toward him. Does this spell or start the retirement of CC Sabathia's career? Any one of you could answer it, or both of you would like to, you can. With this situation, with him checking himself into rehab, is this the end of CeCe's career?
I think time will tell. I'm not going to say yes. I'm not going to say no. I think that once he gets himself back right and, you know, gets healthy and comes back to pitching, who knows the type of stuff he's going to bring? Who knows the type of, you know, what type of mindset he's going to be in? I've never been through the rehab process. I have a bunch of friends of mine who have, and they
right.
say, you know, it's a mind-altering experience. It, you know, it's literally life-changing. So I'm not too sure what he's going to come back looking like, if he's going to still want to pitch, if he's going to still want to play ball. I'm not too sure. So time will tell. I'm hoping not. But, again, I want to say this is doom and gloom for CeCe Sabathia because he's checking himself in the rehab.
For me, I don't know. I think in some ways, yeah. I think that the Yankee contract will be his last contract, no matter what. I think that because of the type of man he is and has been, he's an honorable guy, regardless of whatever personal demons he may have. He's always been an honorable guy. So he will come back, I think, to honor his contract and just to honor his teammates, to try to, I guess, in some way make up for the fact that he deserted them. Because trust me, he feels like he's deserting them right now. He feels like that. So I think he'll come back to honor the rest of his contract, but I don't think CeCe's going to pitch anywhere after this contract is up. Because, you know, being a professional athlete, there's a lot of stress that people don't realize. Which, oh, you make a lot of money. Yeah, that's great, but you're away from your family. There's a lot of people, leeches mm-hmm. and things like that, and you know, you got the girls and all of the stuff, and you're away from your family. And listen, you know, we're all adults here. You know, you got a pocket full of money, you in the city, your family and your wife or your husband ain't around, and you got all these beautiful people talking about, hey, want to sleep with me? It's a little hard to say no. It's a little hard for somebody to say, hey, man, want to go to the club? It's a little hard to say no. You know, it's a little hard. As Doc Gooden, as Darryl Strawberry, as the myriad mm-hmm. number of guys, as Josh Hamilton, okay? It's hard to be a professional athlete and try to live a life of sobriety. It's hard. It's not impossible, but it's hard. But I think this will be the last contract CeCe Sabathia signs. But I do think he will come back and play out the remainder of his contract.
And just for, you know, to be rightful in this situation, the competitive nature of me being a Twins fan, I'm so happy that CeCe's out of the way, but not because he's going into rehab. I just want him out of the roster. I don't want to see him injured, no stuff like that. But being a human, like, of course, it's touching, man. And knowing that he's doing this at the more critical time of the season right now where they need him, he has to do it for himself. And me looking at it like that, of course, I mean, it's a no-brainer. You got to do what's best for you. My father always told me it's health before sports and books and that nature. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of stuff before the physical nature and stuff like that. So I understand where CeCe's coming from. And hopefully the Yankees can put this together and upset some people, because it'll actually spell for an even better storyline approaching, you know, the midst of October and at the beginning of November, seeing if that they can get that far. It would be an amazing story if the Yankees could push forward and make this happen. Call number 917-889-9592. There's an elephant in the room, man, and I can't sit on it any longer. But here goes Nostradamus striking again, but I did not think that it would be this soon, people. I did not think it would be this soon. And I don't know if he claimed it this week, but it went down in South Beach. Joseph Philbin, former assistant or offensive coordinator, with the Green Bay Packers, gets his shot to be a head coach in Miami. Things aren't going the way that they should for the Dolphins. They start the season off with a win, and they are on a losing streak as of now, with everything being a questionable amount of play, to say the least. But they let go of Joe Philbin after them. I guess they're on their way back from Europe/England over here, but they have their bye week. This is an interesting approach that they are going into a bye week with the coach being fired, And they're struggling right now. This is a big question mark in front of the Miami Dolphins as of this point. Interim head coach as of now, Dan Campbell, I know a ton about him. He used to play for the Lions a bit, and a crazy part about him was he was a bench warmer, but he's the tight end coach down there in Miami. They actually gave him the shot to be the interim head coach for the remainder of the season. Hopefully he could turn some things around. Sirius, I'll go to you first. Your thoughts on Joe Philbin being fired today from the Miami Dolphins.
Again, this comes as not a shock to anybody who's been watching, you know, football this year or anybody who's been listening to Sports City and been giving this a time. I mean, this is a guy who was 24 for 28 since taking over since 2012. And for all intents and purposes, you know, the Miami Dolphins had aspirations of challenging the New England Patriots for AFC East supremacy this upcoming year and possibly making a playoff push. This is a team at this point in time that is really underperforming. You're getting nothing from your running back position. You're getting nothing from your quarterback position. You're getting nothing from your defense. I mean, honestly, you fly over to London and the New York Jets, albeit this is Chandler's team, is looking like world beaters right now. The Dominican Sue is another head case. We all thought that, you know, he would get his money and calm the hell down, or maybe there was something going on in the Motor City in Detroit. Nah, he's up to the same old antics again in Miami. You know, Joe Philbin, for all intents and purposes, lost the locker room. So they move on to a new regime, and, you know, to Campbell, who says, you know, that the Dolphins have enough to win, and I think they do. I think they do. Maybe they need a new voice to come in there. You know, if you're going to make a move, this is a good time to do it with the bye week. This week you come back and play, you know, a Tennessee Titans team who, you know, you could possibly beat, get your mind right, get to 2-3, you know, and who knows what happens in this wacky AFC conference. But it's, I don't want to say it's unfortunate. Again, we said this when we were talking about Matt Williams and the Washington Nationals being fired. You know, a coach has to be able to control his locker room, control his ball club, and he lost it. You know, Joe Philbin, we all like the kid. We all seen him on Hard Knocks. You know, we all, again, picked the Dolphins to be much better than what they were as of right now. So, again, it comes as no surprise.
Chandler, your turn on this situation. Joe Philbin fired from the Miami Dolphins. Now I'm going to spice this up a little bit, and I'll let Sirius get back at it too. Do you put this squarely on the shoulders? And I know they go to the head of the snake in a situation. Is this squarely on the shoulders of Joe Philbin, or is it the offense that's lackluster? You know, Tannehill not producing like he did last season. The defense, which has one sack for the entire season right now, one sack. They are ranked 32nd in the league defensively right now. That is a heck of a number for the front that they have right now. Your thoughts on Joe Philbin, what's going on in South Beach, and can it get better for this Dolphins team?
Yeah, this is Joe Philbin's fault. I said last year he was supposed to be fired. He never should have come back this year. You have Cameron Wake, Olivier Vernon, or Vernon Olivier, whatever his name is, the cat from the Canadian League, and Ndamukong Suh. You sign Ndamukong Suh to a ridiculous contract.
Right.
And then you use him basically as a two-gap guy. Ndamukong Suh is not a two-gap guy. He is a monster that you say, go kill somebody. We'll pay the fines. You don't have him play two-gap responsibilities. So you have this defense coordinator who's too stupid to utilize him properly. You have a head coach who has basically retarded the growth of Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill, let's be honest, Ryan Tannehill has some talent. You might not like Ryan Tannehill. You can't dispute the fact that the man has talent. And this kid has not progressed at all under Joe Philbin. At all. At all. Oh, and by the way, you gave him what? How much did they give him, Todd? $90-some-odd million contract extension?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, but and he still can't throw a deep ball? Really? You still can't run the ball? You brought in Ndamukong Suh, and you use him in every way but the ways that will make him successful. How is it not Joe Philbin's fault? I'm not trying to hear all these apologies for Joe Philbin. Joe Philbin was a terrible, 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 I could go on for the next hour, head coach. He should have been fired last year. If I'm the Miami Dolphins, Dan Campbell might be a nice guy. He's not a head coach either. He was part of the same staff last I checked. How have the Miami Dolphins tight ends been doing the past couple of seasons? Matter of fact, tell me, name me a Miami Dolphin tight end. I'll wait.
I'm looking on the depth chart now. Can you find one? Cameron Jordan. Jordan Cameron. There you go. Oakley Cleveland Brown.
Well, Jordan Cameron's a good tight end, but they just got rid of Clark.
I look on the depth chart anyway.
Right.
Yeah, they brought him in from Cleveland and got rid of Charles Clay. How's Charles Clay doing on that other team? Pretty doggone good. But when he was in Miami, yeah, not so much. So I don't want to hear Dan Campbell. Okay, I don't want to hear from Dan Campbell.
Right.
Oh, by the way, Nate Burleson, how about you stop running in the polls, lying about you was trying to reach for a pizza when you want to criticize Ndamukong Suh? Okay? Nate Burleson, how about you get honest about how you broke your arm before you want to criticize Ndamukong Suh? I'm just saying. I was reaching for a pizza, my ass. listen, man, don't talk about nobody else not being honest, and you're a liar, okay? Shut your mouth. If I'm the Miami Dolphins, if I truly want to try to turn this season around, and Ty, I say this every time a coach is fired, I call Herman Edwards, and I say,
why,
Herman.
Why won't they touch him? Why won't they touch Herman? They leave him right here in Bristol, Connecticut, on the ESPN panel. Like, why won't they touch Herm any longer?
Because Herman Edwards is about the players. He cares about the players. He's more interested in making these guys men and good men and good players than he is about winning games. But he happens to win games along the way. Okay, he led the Jets to the playoffs. He led the Kansas City Chiefs to the playoffs with no quarterback. With no quarterback, by the way. Okay, but if and Herman is a defensive guy. Can you imagine Herman Edwards with that front four? Do you know he could? Go ahead.
Oh no, I was saying it would change because I know he was a secondary guy, so I know he would at least put somebody behind that front seven to help them out.
Exactly. But if I'm the Dolphins, I call Herman Edwards and say, do you want this job? Now, Herman may be turning people down. Who knows? He might have said, you know what? I can make money and not have the stress of being a head coach and still get to criticize everybody. But I personally think the guy they need to bring in is Herman Edwards. Those players in Miami never believed in Joe Philbin. They didn't trust Joe Philbin. They need a coach they can rally around because the Miami Dolphins have some talent, man. This is not a team that doesn't have talent. They got talent in the front four. They got talent in the secondary. They got a quarterback who has some talent. They got wide receivers who have talent. They got a running back who has talent. This is not a team that doesn't have – this is a team that should have won 9 games this season. Easy. This is a team that should have won 9 games this season, easy. Okay, they're one in three.
1-3.
They could still win 9 games. They could still win 9 games. Okay, if they get the right coach, they could still win 9 games. They won't make the playoffs, but that team is still a 9-7 team right now. But yes, Joe Philbin. Joe Philbin should have been gone the minute they signed Ndamukong Suh.
Wow, and they putting it on Sue's shoulders. This is okay. Sports City, we do have Nacho here in the building. Nacho, welcome to the wrap up. How are you feeling this evening?
No, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good.
Your thoughts on the Philbin firing?
You know, I gotta kind of agree with Chandler. you know, with the whole fact that he's not a good head coach. I mean, what was it, 24 and 28 since he's been there? There has been no progression in any part of the game in Miami. You get a $100 million player in Ndamukong Suh, who is not showing up, whether that's a product of the system or a product of him having money and being in a place like South Beach. So this is an interesting situation down in Miami. Firing, I get it. You're 1-3. You should be contending for this division with the roster that you have. I agree with Chandler. If you had any doubts, if you had any kind of lingering doubts, and you were on a 4-week trial, so to speak, because that's what it seems like they were on. Because lo and behold, their bye is next week. So, in the Chandler conspiracy theorist way of thinking, they went into this season going, you got a 4-game window, Joe Philbin. If you don't clean it up by London, we have 2 weeks to prepare for our next team. We'll kick you out of here. And I think that's kind of what happened from the get-go. And my whole thought process is, if that's your way of thinking, get rid of him before week one. Get rid of him before training camp. There does not need to be a head coach trying to coach for his job the first 4 weeks when you have a roster like this. This roster should have had a coach who was there to take over and push these guys. And to the credit of Chen, why would you bring the same guy who was on the same coaching staff? That doesn't make any sense. It's like San Francisco promoting their D-line coach to head coach. What's the point? You know, it doesn't make any sense, to be honest. I scratched my head at the hiring of Dan Campbell. If I'm not mistaken, he was drafted in 99 and played 10 years. That makes him 6 years out of the league, and he's already a head coach. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't know if this is the quote-unquote Mike Tomlin effect, where everyone's trying just to hire the new young guy. Hopefully they get, you know, they hit it. I mean, you're not going to find that, obviously. That's a diamond in the rough there. You got the young guy who's brilliant. You're very rarely going to find that here as a coach. In the NFL, experience needs to come along with that. They broke the mold when they made Tomlin, but usually you're going to need experience. So you're going to need a coach that's been at least a head coach, at least somewhere else. So I don't like the interim Dan Campbell, but Philbin had to go. You know, the team 1-3 for the basic reasons that everyone laid out. Philbin had to go. My only quarrel with the situation is, if you knew that this was a problem that was going to happen, if you had any inkling of an idea that you wanted to fire him, because a 1-3 start necessarily doesn't mean, you know, firing of the head coach. You have to go into the season thinking, if he doesn't prove anything after game 4, we're getting rid of him, especially if there's news of this the night you lose the game. That's why I'm under that, you know, the auspices that it's one of those things that, you know, they have been planning for from the beginning, and you just don't go into a season like that, especially with the, you know, the newspaper clippings that were written about this team, how good they should be and how they should contend for this division. So the Philbin firing had to come. Bringing Dan Campbell up is something I just don't understand in and of itself. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. So Philbin having to go is a good decision. You know, doing it now, I think, is the best time. You do have 2 weeks to prepare. You do have time to, you know, a week of questions and then a game. You don't have a week of questions and then a game exactly on Sunday. You have another week for the situation to die down, and then you progress and go on and you move on to the next game. So the timing, I think, is kind of right, and the fact that there's a bye next week for them. But everything else, just, you know, with the Campbell, it doesn't make any sense.
And if you hear the introductory speech that Campbell said, it was like Campbell was talking just about Philbin. It's like you didn't even prove yourself. Like he was talking junk about Philbin in the speech. I'm like, wait, whoa. You haven't done anything in the NFL, and I know because you were a Lion. And now that you're a tight end coach, you get the opportunity to run the Dolphins, and you trying to crap on Philbin. Philbin has a resume, at least. He got the Super Bowl. I mean, and I'm putting it all on Philbin's shoulders. At least he has something to speak on. You have to prove yourself right now. That's the one thing that killed me. So now it's a situation where they're going into a bye week. You know what I'm saying? They're struggling. They have to put this together, and you got to offer the mind of the coach where both sides of the ball, they're struggling. And just like Chandler said, he's going to be focused on trying to feed the middle of the field the ball when they have to try and take opportunities downfield, get the running game involved, and see if this, the defense can get from 32nd in the league somewhere into the midst of the 20s, at least in the midst of the 20s. I'm not even going for the team numbers. Like you got names on that defense that can make a difference. That can make a difference. That's how I feel about this situation. Anything else toward the situation that's going on in Southeast before we get away from that?
Well, let me say this, you know what I'm saying? Nacho came in and said something about, you know, not hiring a coach who hasn't had experience or something like that. And the thing is, you know, when you start bringing up Mike Tomlin, you know, I got to stick up for the situation. Mike Tomlin inherited a great situation. I mean, let's keep it 100. You know, Bill Cowher, you know, built that team, drafted that team. Mike Tomlin inherited a great situation. So for those head coaches who are looking to find the next Mike Tomlin, you know, the blueprint is simple. You have to, you know, draft the right people, have the right players in place, and make that transition that much more easier. You know, Mike Tomlin was a defensive guy. You know, he came on, kept Dick LeBeau, you know, until this past year. You know, so, again, Mike Tomlin's a 4-3 guy. Dick LeBeau's a 3-4 guy. He let Dick LeBeau do his thing. So not everybody's going to be Mike Tomlin. Not everybody's going to be John Harbaugh. But, again, for the Miami Dolphins, again, what my man Nacho said, it's pretty clear. I'm not too sure, you know, if Campos is the right guy. You know, if we're looking at the laundry list of coaches that, you know, may be a decent, you know, fit in there. You know, Arnett was just thrown out there. You know, Hugh Jackson comes to mind, offensive coordinator for the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, how about a guy like, you know, Kyle Shanahan, who was really never given his shot as a head coach, but, you know, is one hell of an offensive coordinator. You see what he's doing right now for the Atlanta Falcons, and has always been in the limelight behind, you know, Mike Shanahan. So there's a couple names that come to mind for the Miami Dolphins, but, you know, if you want to find the next, you know, Harbaugh, the next Tomlin, you really want to get the proper pieces in place, you know, for your franchise, and then that way the transition isn't that harder. I'm not too sure if all the pieces are in place at Miami. Again, we went through the loss. They do got some talent, like Chan alluded to. So possibly a plug-and-play type of quarterback coach or a plug-and-play type offensive coordinator like a Kyle Shanahan, like a Hugh Jackson may work. We'll see what happens with it.
Hugh Jackson, hell no. Hugh Jackson, let me say that again. Hugh Jackson, hell no. Did I mention hell no for Hugh Jackson? And Kyle Shanahan?
I'm throwing names out there, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I could have said Joshua Daniels, too. You know, I'm just throwing names out there of coaches who are faces in this league who could possibly go in there and try to do something with mediocre to limited talent. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying
Listen, how about Brian Billick?
No. No. Listen, first of all, I personally believe Brian Billick is not well health-wise. Anybody who's watching NFL and who's watched NFL Network, you can see the difference in his body type. And I hope I'm wrong. I really do. But I don't think Brian Billick is healthy. That's the first thing. That's not mediocre talent in Miami. See, that's the other thing. Ryan Tannehill is not a mediocre quarterback. Ryan Tannehill has the talent to be a good quarterback. Not great, but a good quarterback. I'll put it like this. He has as much physical talent as Andy Dalton. He has as much physical talent as Andy Dalton or Matt Ryan. His arm is just as big. He's mobile. He can move. He can make every throw. He's had a terrible head coach. If you look at Ryan Tannehill's skill set, he has the skill set to do the same thing that Andy Dalton and Matt Ryan does. He hasn't been coached well. Kyle Shanahan, oh, hell no. Hugh Jackson, oh, hell no. Ryan Tannehill needs a coach who will actually believe in him and actually put him in a position to succeed. Lamar Miller has some talent. The kid is a good running back. Again, not mediocre, a good running back. He's a running back who can get you 1,000 yards. Now, these days, 1,000 yards isn't the same as it was when we were coming up, you know, when you had 1,000 yards because, you know, guys had baseball bats and brass knuckles. So when you actually got 1,000 yards, it meant something. Okay? These days, 1,000 yards don't mean a whole lot. But Lamar Miller has the talent to be a 1,000-yard running back. You have some wide receivers. You have an outstanding front seven. Okay? Outstanding. Secondary, okay. I'll give you secondary so-so. That is a 9-win team. The Miami Dolphins, talent-wise, are a 9-win team. Under just a decent head coach, they're a 9-win team. You give them a really good head coach, you know, you're talking 10 wins. Now, again, the Patriots are in that division, so it is what it is. But that's a 9-win team. So that's not mediocre talent. The problem has been the head coach and not maximizing the talents of the guys. But no, Kyle Shanahan, oh, no. Did we not see what he did in Washington? Did we not see that?
Did you see what he had in Washington?
Yes, he had Robert Griffin III as a rookie, and Robert Griffin led his team to the playoffs, and they decided they were going to force him to be a pocket passer. That's what we saw. That's what we saw in Washington. So, no, to Kyle Shanahan. And Hugh Jackson, he had some again, limited, but he had some talent in Oakland. And how'd that work out? How'd that work out in Oakland? Oh, that's right. They were horrible.
Right.
Okay. So, no. Again, for me, the only coach for this team right now is Herman Edwards. He's the only coach for this team. No one's hiring him. I don't know why. Maybe Herman pissed some people off. I don't know. But the only coach for that team right now is Herman Edwards.
Okay, Sports City, sit tight. We do have a little bit of time left, but I think we're getting a double dose of what we got here in the kitchen. Calling in from England again, the Welsh Dragon, Rodri Jones. Welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
Yeah, doing good. I'm just line coming in clear, guys.
How you doing,
well. Not shocked with the Joe Philbin fight, and I think he's still in London. I don't know where he is. he's in a club in London. but it's just shocked. I mean,
wow.
I think that's happened over here now. Twice the coaches have come over here and got fired, so... Yeah, he's in a club in London somewhere, I think. I don't know where he is, but hope all is good.
That's mean. That is so mean. Look, they're picking on you in Wales, in England. We got you. You get talked about in the kitchen in England. Okay.
I got to stand up for my Welsh heritage, you know. But yeah.
Hey. it's okay. I love every last bit of it, man. We also the kitchen is heating up, and normally at the tail end of the doggone show, we got Slam Magazine author Darnell Suggs in the building. Welcome to the wrap of how you feeling this evening.
I'm good, brother. How's everybody doing?
We doing real good right now, real good. Anything you'd like to touch on about the firing of Joe Philbin before we move forward?
I was listening to the show, and I was going to stay quiet, and I just enjoy you guys. I'm listening to the show, and then I got to say something about the Philbin thing, though. It's a panic move by Miami. You're 1-3, and everybody else is also added to this. I'm just saying, it's a total panic move to fire somebody after four games. Four games in a division that's not that strong, even though I'm a Jet fan, the division's not that strong. They were 8-8 last year. They can make a comeback or be at least decent. So that was a panic move by Miami, but that's typical Miami, though. If they're not Green Bay, if they're not Seattle, just in their mind, New England, then they just feel like they need to make a move like that, like signing Ndamukong Suh for all that money. That was a panic move. That signing was a panic move, and the firing was a panic move. So it's typical Miami Dolphins. I'm glad they did it. It's fine by me.
And do you really think that Dan Campbell could go in here and turn this thing around, or – do you think this continues to spiral downward?
the team is not that bad. As much as I hate Miami sports, period, the team really isn't all that bad. It's not really going to spiral. They're going to probably finish up 8-8, 7-9, like they always do anyway. I don't know who they think they are. Who does Miami think they are? It's been 20 years since they've been relevant. And now, because they're 1-3, we need to make up a firing. Like, come on. This is Miami football. You guys weren't good, since mid-'80s, early 90s with Marino. So leave Philbin alone. Finish up the season. Don't embarrass yourself nationally like they're doing right now. It's the only way they're making news. Right. You literally just had a game on national TV in London. On national TV, everyone watched you because it was the only game on. And after that, you fire them? That makes no sense. Like, this is the one decent – they play decent. So you fired them after playing decent. You didn't fire them after last year or the year before that when you were 7-9, or the year before that when I think they won 5 or 6 games. You fired him now. It makes no sense. Typical Miami. They're not gonna be better. They're just going to be Miami. They'll go 8-8, 7-9. So same old Miami Dolphins.
Okay, I got one more interesting topic. I want to see how y'all guys feel about this. Now, I feel like I'm picking – and I'm really not picking. Like, listen, I promise you, I'm not picking at all. I'm not. But somebody, and I don't know, but somebody, please, go to Texas and go find that bug. I don't know where it is. Like if I was outside of the kitchen, I wouldn't be saying this. But I'm saying this because I'm a chef, cooking as best as I possibly can. But whatever you do, please go down to Texas and find that injury bug, because, again, we have another severe injury to the Dallas Cowboys team. They just lost Dunbar for the year, having ligament damage to his knee on a crazy fall after he got tackled. I don't know who's playing with the drums or whatever you need to do, but we'll take care of this right now. Crazy enough, the Cowboys are already trying to rush Dez Bryant back. They're saying after the week 6 bye that they're trying to get Dez back now. Where Dez was ruled to be out for 8 weeks. Dez is supposed to be out for 8 weeks. They're already trying to rush him back now to try and get this thing 60 to slip away. Now, interesting enough, they watched a Saints team that was winless basically win a game in overtime in 13 seconds, having a bad defensive call and losing track Spiller, and knowing that Spiller could end up taking off. I want to see how you guys feel about another big injury toward the Dallas Cowboy team, and where do they go from? I'll start with you first, Donnell.
It's. I mean, now you want to talk about downhill. This is not looking too good. Everyone's off of the quarterback situation. They realize now that that's just not going to work. The running back situation, that was solid the first half against the Falcons, and that just went downhill. I'm not sure what they're going to do, man. I mean, Dallas, when you lose your starting quarterback who's a Pro Bowler, when you use probably the third or fourth best receiver in the league, and I'm probably off by that, maybe second or third, nothing's good is going to come of that. This is the NFL, and there's a lot of guys backing up guys, granted, but there's that upper echelon, and there's a big gap between the best guys in the league and those guys that fill in their spaces. This ain't the NBA where a guy can just score 20 points off the bench. This is the NFL. Like, Dez Bryant gets all the reps in practice. Dez Bryant knows the playbook back and forth. The next guy knows it, but talent-wise, he's nowhere near that. So Dallas is season 8. They say the season is over, and it's week 5. But real talk, I mean, they can't expect much to happen when you lose your captain, co-captain, the two best players on the team, and so on and so forth. I don't expect much from that. It's got to be downhill from there. You don't fire anybody. You don't do anything crazy. But you don't expect to actually, like, win NFC. Don't fire anybody. Everybody should have their job. It's almost Thanksgiving. Don't fire anybody.
Right.
People got to feed their family. But just don't expect. Jerry Jones is now Jerry Jones is not a Brandon Whedon fan no more. It kills me when people tell.
Although after that, I actually forgot about this. Sean Lee just caught a concussion again. Like he did not catch a fight. Like, every week, it's like Sean Lee has walked off the field. He has two trainers next to him, and they're carrying his big tail off the field. Like, I don't know when he can remain healthy for a full season either.
Sean Lee's averaging about 6 games a year. He's a great football player, but no one's seen him play all 16 games since he was, like, a rookie. So that's just his M.O. He's a Derrick Rose in the NFL. He's a great ball player, but he's just not going to get him to play every day. He's a great ball player, though. Dallas has to be realistic. Dallas and Dallas fans, Dallas management, Dallas ownership, be realistic. You cannot. Last year was a phenomenal year. This snake bit. Your snake bit year is over as far as contention for the Super Bowl, NFC East title. That's done. But you know, you field the team every Sunday. You sell out that big old stadium. The owner still makes his money. Everybody gets their paychecks and we go home. But no, as far as winning, no, that's out. That's out.
Okay, Roger, your thoughts on what's going on with Dallas, all of these injuries, and, you know, the only thing that's staying firm for this Dallas Cowboys team is that offensive line. That offensive line is still intact. They're trying to do as much as they possibly can, and everything around them is kind of, you know, getting nicked up or the injury bug is biting these guys severely. Your thoughts on what the state of the Cowboys injury-wise?
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, Bill Callahan to me was the man last year with that offensive line. He's now in Washington. Washington's offensive line's improved. I don't think there's something there with that, definitely, because you know, Jerry Jones, I think that's a testament of a team, though, is how you handle injuries and how you sort of play. You know, you're only as good as the last man on your roster, I've always thought, and you know, they need to. Like Miami Dolphins getting rid of Joe Philbin is exactly the same. You know, you need to put you know, ownership on who you've got there. You know, you need to own up and say these are my guys for the whole season and go out the season and finish it the way you're supposed to be finished. You know, losing a guy like Joe Philbin for Miami City right now, I believe, and all the best coaches are currently on teams. So, you know, it's just a bad situation for them. As far as Dallas is going out, though, Sean Lee, like you said, again going down. You know, to me, Penn State linebacker, great player, but you know, you could be as great as you want. If you're not going to be on the field, then what can you do? Yeah, they need to get healthy for them to have any chance. They got ways to go. We see how it goes in time, but yeah, you know, Dallas is Dallas. Jerry Jones wants what Jerry Jones wants, and you know, they got to pick it up. That's all they got to say. They just got to pick it up.
Okay. Nacho, your thoughts on this situation with the Dallas Cowboys losing a running back, a linebacker that's, you know, been nicked up ever since last season. He came into this season and, you know, he had his lip busted a week ago. He just got a concussion yesterday. I mean, there's so many interesting situations for this Cowboys team. They had an interesting start starting out 2-0, and now that the injury bug is stuck somewhere in Texas, they need help considerably. And there's been some notable names that they're trying to go after to try and fill the void of what's going down. They also had a receiver pull a hamstring last night as well. But your thoughts on what's going on with the Dallas Cowboys?
You know, this is very interesting. And, you know, not only the fact that death goes down, you know, you got Tony Romo still. You still have a little light. In week two, you get the victory. You're 2-0. Tony Romo goes down and Brandon Whedon comes in and still gets you the victory. I don't understand the whole concept of, you know, no one's getting fired. This is a team, and you know, we pride, or a lot of teams pride themselves on, you know, they got a coach who can take whatever and with the best offensive line in the league. You already got rid of your best running back and determined that you didn't need him, so you can have do with your backups and who you can bring in. So, I feel, you know, not to be a little, you know, conspiracy theorist or, you know, take it back to the way Phillips days, but there's 8 games between now and December 13th at Green Bay against Dallas. I think they probably go 1-7, 2-6 in that span. And at Green Bay is when they lose tremendously. I'm talking 55-10 at Green Bay, no matter if Tony's back or not. And outlaw Wade Phillips. Jason Garrett gets fired. I think this is a season that he's done for. I know this is Jerry Jones' little puppet. He's Jerry Jones' right hand man. He's been, you know, the heir apparent and everything. But you can't go into this season when you think that if you're in the mindset that we can get rid of the number one running back in the NFL and keep winning, then you should be able to lose players and still win. I know it's all the best players, but you should be able to still win more than 2 games. And I think the fact that their defense and what they're incapable of is going to get highly exposed. And even with the coming back of McClain and Hardy there, they're still not going to be able to do anything defensively. So you know, to lay that out for you, New England, some divisional rivals, Seattle, at Miami, at Tampa Bay. I think over the next 8 weeks they only have 3 home games. The rest are all away. So it's one of those things that it's going to be hard for them to win. It's going to be hard for them to win at all. So and you're supposed to win, and when you're not winning, I don't care who's missing on you. On your team, if I'm not mistaken, there was no Tony Romo when Wade Phillips got hurt, when Wade Phillips got fired as well. So I think this is a team that just, you know, in disastrous role because of the injuries, and there's got to be a casualty, and it's going to be Jason Garrett.
1-7 in the next 8 games? Wow. Wow.
Well, they get Jameis Winston. They get Jameis Winston, so there's one. Other than that, I don't know who they get.
And he's picking on the Heisman Trophy winner. Okay, serious, do you agree with what Nacho is throwing from the state of Arizona? 1-7 in their next 8 games? Your thoughts on the injury bug with this Dallas Cowboy team? The state of Dallas has its hand right now.
I think Jameis Winston beats them. I think Jameis Winston beats them, honestly.
Wow.
But Here's the deal, man. You know, I don't think that Jason Garrett is going to, you know, take the fall on the sword for this one. Because, honestly, Jerry Jones is in love with this cat. Again, we don't know if he caught him with inappropriate pictures, if he's seen him in some compromising situations. But there have been times before we all have thought that Jason Garrett should have, you know, fallen on the ass, and he has not. Now he has the excuse, yo, you know, Dez wasn't there, Romo wasn't there, now Dunbar's not there, Sean Lee is being put together with all of Jesus bumper stickers as we speak. You know, they're going to roll out there, you know, at the Mike linebacker on Sunday when they can lose the Patriots. So who knows what's going to happen? But I don't think Dez's going to fall on this one. Clearly, they're not expected to win Sunday. You know, you're relying on Darren McFadden, you know, to toast the rock now in Dallas, and we all know he's a wind blow away from tearing the ACL. It's just bad in Dallas right now. I will be remiss if I didn't laugh a little bit because I can't stand Dallas, but it's going to be tough for Cowboy fans and you know, Dallas Cowboys to generate wins. You know, going forward, you know, again, and I'm enjoying it, but I have a hard time believing that Jason Garrett is going to take the fall for this one, because again, it's not that he's not coaching; he just doesn't have the horses that he relied on to get the job done. You know, when they decided not to pay DeMarco Murray and give all that money to Dez Bryant and play that Russian roulette thing, and then Dez goes down, that's out of Jason Garrett's hands. You know, Tony Romo goes down out of Jason Garrett's hands. You know, again, last yesterday, Dunbar goes down out of Jason Garrett's hands. So, I don't think he's going to take the top of this one.
I never thought about it like that, them throwing the money to Dez and you know, DeMarco leaving, kind of looking at it like karma situation. Do you agree or disagree with Nacho that they do fire Jason Garrett at the end of the season, yes or no?
No, I don't think they do. Because, again, you know, the injuries kind of amount to this, you know, it's the good veteran.
Okay, we do have a caller in queue in Sports City. I'm not in love with them.
Really?
They like me.
Really?
You're just gonna
bypass me.
Taylor, look, the person I got, I know he's going to talk junk because he's calling from the A. We got Nas in the building. The Falcons had a 4-0 start, and they actually are one of the teams that actually put the tools to the Cowboys late in that game. Nas, what's up? Welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm good, man. I'm good. What up, y'all, man? Been a minute since I hollered at y'all, man.
I see. So your thoughts on the state of the Dallas Cowboys with the injuries flying left and right on the Cowboy team?
Oh, man, y'all had perfect breakdown so far. I mean, just describing what the team is. They're in a serious situation right now. You don't have your franchise QB, your franchise wide receiver. All you have to show really is that big O-line. Now you're even missing a running back. That O-line has shown that it's not that O-line of the 90s. And in the second half, they seem to wear down, and they're not as dominant. And because of that, you got Brandon Weeden back there who can't stretch the field, can't really get the ball down the field. So everybody's kind of playing them in a box. So, I mean, you can't consistently win like that. And you got, I mean, it's Brandon Weeden. Like, we got to be serious about this. You know, you got Terrence Williams as your number one wide receiver right now. Like, this is not good. You're going to lose games. And for any Cowboys fans out there, we'll give you a little light, though, within the darkness of this. Now you will lose the amount of games you need to lose in order for Jerry to be able to pull the trigger and get another quarterback next year. Romo has been injury prone. He's had to take shots at certain points to be even able to play. He's getting up there in age. We're talking about 30s, so it's about that time to get another quarterback in there. You draft one high after you have this high losing season. I mean, that's what it is. This team is not built to win
Because you brought Heath in his kitchen already. So they're done with Romo.
No, I'm not saying you're done with Romo. You bring him back. You finish out the deal as best you can, and then you know the whole NFL way. At the end of that contract, when all that money's up there, you get rid of him, you plug the young boy in. But you keep him in as long as he's effective and healthy. But you do have to have the chance to get another option. And I got to push you guys on that point about saying they gave Dez the money instead of Murray. Let's be honest. Murray was injured his whole career, had one healthy season. It was a dominant, you know, historic season, but one healthy season after a 300-carry year? Yeah, I mean, that's a good bet to say, let me put the money on the receiver instead of the running back. I think most teams would do that.
Interesting. Sports City, they are cooking today. Okay, Mr. Knight, I'll let you close this one up. Your thoughts on the state of the Dallas Cowboys? Nacho says 1-7, possibly 2-6 in the next 8 games, and especially week 14. He's saying it could be a 50-point massacre. Garrett at the end of the season could be canned. Nas saying that they look after another quarterback. We've already had the discussion that potentially they could go after RG3. We've been talking about this for years. The opportunity can be there. Chandler, your thoughts on what's going on in Dallas with all these injuries looming around them also?
Well, first off, do I really have to cape up for the Cowboys right now? Because I'm hearing a bunch of nonsense right now. Let me start with DeMarco Murray. Everybody want to keep talking about, oh, they don't have DeMarco Murray. I'm sorry. What has DeMarco Murray done in Philadelphia? I told you DeMarco Murray was a bum. He's already missed a game. He's getting 8 carries a game. He ain't even averaging 30 yards a game. He's not even averaging 30 yards a game. DeMarco Murray had one good season, got his money, and now he's sitting in Philly tomorrow getting enough carries. How about this, DeMarco? How about you actually break a tackle? I'm just saying. So stop with the DeMarco Murray nonsense. Secondly, Ty, yesterday, how many yards you say Brandon Weeden would throw for? You said 300, right?
No,
he threw for 270.
Okay.
Stop. I didn't interrupt nobody.
Okay.
He threw for 272. No interceptions. He did his job as a backup quarterback. He gave the team a chance to win. Defense let him down. This ain't on Brandon Weeden that they're not winning. 2 games, he's done his job as a backup quarterback. He's kept them in the game and gave them an opportunity to win. That's all your backup is supposed to do for all of the Brandon Weeden bashing. He's kept them in the game and gave them an opportunity to win the game. So all the Brandon Weeden bashing, you can have that because he did his job. 272, a touchdown, no interceptions. Now they're calling him Captain Checkdown. See, it's funny because when Brandon Weeden was throwing the ball down the field, throwing interceptions, I didn't interrupt not one single person.
I apologize.
I let everybody say the bullshit they were saying. When he was throwing the ball down the field of Cleveland and throwing interceptions, everybody said he needs to learn to check the ball down. Now he's checking it down on NFL Network. They call him Captain Checkdown. He's doing what the offense is asking him to do. And like I said, he's kept that team in games. It's funny how that works. A blown assignment gets C.J. Spiller. Oh, and by the way, the next time you hear C.J. Spiller's name this season, will be the second time. Because last I checked, C.J. Spiller ain't been healthy in 3 years. So he got a humble last night. Blind squirrel, finding a nut, all of that. 1-7, really, Nacho? 1-7, really? Really? Are you still that salty? Are you Packer fans still that salty? Really? Bottom line is, we'll probably go 4-4. Because the backup quarterback is doing what he's supposed to do, which is keeping them in the game. That's all a backup quarterback's supposed to do. Give you a chance to win the game. Brandon Whedon's done that. So how is Jason Garrett supposed to get fired when he's doing what he's when he put a guy in at quarterback, who they gave him. By the way, the son of the owner is now making the personnel decisions, so nobody's getting fired. Steven Jones is now making the personnel decisions, so nobody's getting fired. They like Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett's done a good job. As a head coach, as a guy who had to learn how to be a coach, mind you, he has gotten better as a coach. He gave up the play calling. He realized that he couldn't call plays and coach the team. What the hell else is he supposed to do? They gave him Dunbar, McFadden, and Randall. They're 2-2. I'm sorry, is there a 4-0 team in the NFC East? Is there a dominant team in the NFC East? You got the Eagles and Chip Kelly's moronic ass. You got Jay Gruden, who on any given day will decide that he thinks Kirk Cousins is the second coming of Dan Marino. And you got the Giants and Eli Manning, who can't hold a 10-point lead. So they're 2-2 in the NFC East. They're still winning the NFC East because the other three teams suck. So what's the problem here?
Can I respond to any of that?
Yes, you can. So I'll go second.
Nas, I'll let you go first. I'll let you go first, Nas, and then let Nacho come in afterwards.
Got you. First things first, Whedon is not put out there to not lose the game. He's put out there in a simplified, really conservative game plan with the mind frame of, okay, this is what you're good at, so this is what we're going to do. But that game plan limits the offense so much that you're relying on the defense to be on the field way too much, and also you're relying on your running game to carry you. Problem, you don't have a franchise running back there to really dictate things. So for a while they look like they can do something, as you saw in that Falcon game. Then in that second half, that O-line got tired. Whedon couldn't force anything down the field, so they're just playing in that box still. Now you could say he's not making any mistakes in that box, but – you got to have an all-time defense to play like that and still win. So, yes, this team is going to lose a lot of games. Do I think the coach will get fired? That's up in the air, because a hire like that, Jerry looks at as it, not only he hired him, that's his guy, but to fire him means that he failed. And since Jerry is an egomaniac and doesn't like to admit failure, even if he does kind of hint at it, I think he will give Garrett another shot at it. But yeah, man, Whedon is bad, man. And there's no way of really trying to say anything for him to say that he's a competent quarterback. He's bad. It is what it is. People tell me you can't have a running quarterback because he gets hurt, and now your backup's in there and your season's ruined. Well, if you got a pocket quarterback and he gets hurt, nobody has a good backup, your season's ruined. So it's the same thing. And now we're looking at it. Brandon Whedon, 30-year-old, fourth-year guy, him and the running back who got ran out of the league, they just weren't good players. Bad draft, bad process of selection, and he's showing it right now on the field. He's been in the league way too long to be this bad. Hasselbeck jumped off the wheelchair yesterday and looked at least competent. So, yeah, he's a bum.
Okay, Nacho, I'll let you respond, and we'll get to wrapping the thing up here on a Monday night.
I don't understand what I'm salty about. We won, and it still wasn't a catch. The second thing is, I never said anything about Brandon Whedon. My whole point about this Dallas Cowboys team was, even when Dez Bryant and Tony Romo were there, was this defense. It's a time of possession defense. When you only have to be on the field out of a 60-minute game for 20 minutes or less, your defense is fresh at the end of the game.
This is a defense last night with probably the worst offense we've seen out of the New Orleans Saints ever, with a torn rotator cuff or messed up rotator cuff in Drew Brees. No offensive weapons. He had seven incompletions at the end of that game last night before the touchdown throw. Seven incompletions. He was 32 for 39 against this Rob Marinelli defense that's doing so well. That's what I'm talking about. Drew Brees went straight down the field, got him in field goal range with no timeouts and a minute 51 against his defense. If not for a blown kick, they win the game. And what happens? They go into overtime, and if that is not a touchdown, if they make that tackle, it's still a first down, and they're moving the chain against this defense, and they're probably going to score. If not a touchdown, they're going to score a field goal, and they're going to stop Brandon Weeden that off because they're at home, and that crowd was raucous. And I told you what was going to happen. So that's what I'm saying. I'm not salty because that, you know, I think that this offense isn't doing what it's supposed to be doing, and I think Brandon Weeden's a bum. I'm not saying anything of Brandon Weeden. He's doing what he's supposed to do. This defense is very, very suspect. And when they got to spend 30 minutes plus on the field, at the end of the game, every quarterback in the league can burn them. And that's just plain and simple. So they're going to go up against better teams, better quarterbacks, and defenses that can at least make one or two stops a game, especially at the end of the game. That's why I think they're going 2-6 or 1-7. They don't face any teams that I feel are going to let it go against this team defensively, offensively against this defense. And they're not going to be able to time a possession anyone because they have no run game. And the DeMarco Murray thing, I'm not mad that they got rid, or I'm not talking crap because they got rid of the number one NFL rushing attack or back last year. The fact of the matter is they got rid of him and replaced him with three guys in a wheelchair. Like, that doesn't make any sense. I understand you want to get rid of him and you want to not pay him the money, but at least put someone in there who's going to do something. What we're witnessing is when you have a viable starter in DeMarco Murray who can eat up 30 carries a game, and then you give 10 carries to Randall or Dunbar, for those 10 carries a game, they're going to look like world beaters and get 7 yards a carry. What did they do last year? They looked like world beaters and got 6-7 yards a carry last year coming off the bench and helping DeMarco Murray. When they became starters, they didn't do any of that. That's what I'm saying. If you're going to get rid of DeMarco, that's fine and dandy. I don't have any quarrels with that. Obviously, he didn't prove anything until his last year. The problem is you get rid of DeMarco and don't put anything back there to help you. You get a McFadden, and he's hurt every year. And you got two guys who are proven backups. They are not starters in the NFL. Proven backups. So that's my quarrel and why they're not going to win any games. They have no run game. They will not own the time of possession. And that defense is getting exposed week in and week out, regardless of Hardy comes back and McClain comes back, because we all know that, you know, when time possesses the ball and your defense has to be out there, those corners and that back end get exposed and they get tired. And that's what happens at the end of game, and that's what's been happening. Second half of Atlanta, they get blown out. Last night, that last two drives, nothing. Hands on knees, and the Cowboys defense looked like crap.
But that's not on the offense. That's on the defense. And that's what I'm saying. Hold on. Everybody's criticizing the offense. But the fact of the matter is, this is about the defense, not the offense, because they've had an opportunity to win two games. Regardless of the fact that they didn't replace DeMarco Murray, they replaced him with three backups. Okay. They replaced him with three guys who could kind of approximate the production of one guy. Okay. But they had chances to win both of these games. Both of these games, in reality, they should have won. Let's be honest. They should have won the Atlanta game. They should have won this game. Let's be honest. Regardless of what you want to call Brandon Weeden, they should have won both of those games. The defense let them down. So this is an indictment of the defense, not the offense. Everybody keeps criticizing the offense. At some point, can we talk about the fact that the defense stinks? It's not the offense that's the problem in Dallas. That's all I'm caping up for. The offense is not the problem, as Nacho just said. Everybody want to criticize Weeden, criticize Randall, criticize Dunbar, criticize McFadden. Can somebody please make a stop on defense? Anybody. Because they were up against Atlanta. They had the game against the Saints, and the defense let them down. That's my issue with what's being talked about, because everybody want to keep bringing up DeMarco Murray and Brandon Weeden. They're not the reason Dallas is losing. The reason that, because not for nothing, the fact that we're screaming for Orlando Scandrick, the fact that we keep bringing up Orlando Scandrick, okay? Orlando Scandrick, every Cowboy game, oh man, Orlando Scandrick was here. Really? Really? Really?
I think you're making some valid points, but you do got to admit, when you spend the majority of your money on offense, your defense is going to be limited because you're coming with the premise that they're going to be healthy. You assume Dez and Romo are going to be out there. So if those guys go out and you have a defense that doesn't have that high-dollar top talent on it because you spent your money on your O-line and the skill positions, then, yeah, that defense is going to be a problem. But that's the way you're built. So, I mean, at this point, I mean, hell, you can point the finger at the defense if you want to, but – I mean, what playmakers are there? Who's really there that you would want on your franchise right now on that Dallas defense? So, I mean, they don't have the guys, man. You can scheme all you want to, but it comes down to talent at a certain point. And like I said before, man, think about the playbook they had when Romo was in and think about how scaled down that playbook is right now because Whedon is in there.
And they still had opportunities to win the game. Yeah, and you're right,
but
they still had opportunities to win the game.
A bad Saints team, a bad Saints team. We all knew that before the season. We all said that team is bad. So, I mean, yeah, you got beat by a bad Saints team. You got beat by an average Atlanta Falcons team who thinks they're Super Bowl winners. I'll come at y'all with that another time because, man, the people down here are ridiculous. But, yeah.
you hit it on the head exactly. Everybody's criticizing the offense, and they're not paying attention to the fact that they went into the season dependent upon Sean Lee. Sean Lee, guy who ain't played a full season since I think he was in high school, maybe. I don't even know if he played a full season in high school. You know what I'm saying?
And this is the guy that's been...
Say what? What you say, serious?
But quarterbacks who can't push the ball down the field get you fired. Look at Tannehill, what he did to Philbin in Miami. Tannehill can't push the ball down the field, therefore they're playing in that box, like I was just talking about with Dallas. And when you play in that box, people scheme you for it. And that is, I mean, it just becomes too hard to generate offense. Everything has to be perfect. You have to make these long drives, which damn near every defense in the NFL wants you to do now. They want you to try to do the old school really, really long drives because most quarterbacks aren't accurate enough to really do it. And, you know, that deep ball, man, that is the great equalizer. And if you got a guy who can't throw it or you don't have the guys to stretch the field, it's hell.
Okay, fellas, I need to go to this date. I have a date in, like, the next 3 minutes. So I need 12 to close out for each of you, and we can continue all of this.
Nacho, do your long closeout, Nacho. The hell with his date. Nacho, I want to hear back-to-back MVP, all of that.
I'm going to get that.
Hold on. I'll interrupt you. You know what I'm saying? I laugh and giggle, and I interrupt nobody. I give everybody up here a shot to talk. Now, all of a sudden, I try to do my closeout, because I got an engagement in, like, 2 minutes. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah,
this is what you
knew better than to say that. You knew better than to say that.
Hold on. How do you say it in Players Club? He said, keep your hands on the car and lower your tongue. If you ever seen Players Club, you'll love that part when you see it again. Okay.
I never seen it.
Well, I'm going to let you hold the DVD. I got the DVD. I'll let you hold it. Plugs and closeouts of each of you. Roger, I'll start with you first. I'm glad I got England in the building again. They won't even let you talk. These dudes going crazy. They won't even let my brother get in here and do his thing. But, Roger, thank you for stopping by. We got Wales / England in the building. If you see Joe Philbin, tell him I said Sports City, said holler at us. But give us a plug and closeout if we shut it down.
Yeah, Joe Philbin just walked past my house. He's actually wandering the streets. good show, guys. Look forward to picking up with F on the next time. I'm listening in, and great. I'll catch you next time. All the best, guys. TP, have a good day.
Check. Yeah, we be at it tomorrow, man. I gotta let Nacho roll tomorrow, man. Cause I told him I would be here and he came late, but now I gotta try and get him to squeeze this one in somehow. Cause Chandler said, I don't care what Ty talking about. When he's talking about, I'm gonna do what you stop it. Nas, thank you for stopping by. Of course, and tomorrow I hope you get to talk about the topic. I had it as a topic if we wasn't gonna roll into this type of show, but it got hectic in the kitchen. So hopefully I can get you here tomorrow, 7 p.m. for the cookout, because I know it should be a crazy one. But anything that you'd like to promote or shout out as we shut it down here at the Wrap?
Nah, I ain't got no show popping again yet. So I just want to big up y'all, man. Once again, it's always fun to come on this show. Y'all put on a good show, man. A lot of good opinionated dudes who know this stuff. So I appreciate that shit, man. So much respect.
Wow, Andy Kirsten, man. I'm going to talk about that. That's that food for thought, Sports Andy. That is that food for thought. Look, they speak their mind here. I'm trying to tell you something. If you ever seen the movie Color Purple, they had a song that said, God's trying to tell you something. Okay, Mr. Simmons, I need a plug, close out, anything that you like to promote as we shut it down here at the Rap Club.
You know what? Before I get cracking, I like to say God is good. You know, this is going to be my long close out. You know what I'm saying? You give TP time to blow up his girlfriend. Talking about everything that we chopped up, man. Definitely shout out to my man Roger for coming on from the UK. Pleasure to hear this dude twice and all. Roger is feeling special up in this piece. Yo, definitely check us out tomorrow. We got the free fall coming tomorrow. Doing some big things on that show. Again, basketball season is upon us. You know what I'm saying? I hope you all check out a couple of that preseason action. Crossover Cafe going to be bananas. Believe that. Anyway, it's your boy, Chiz. You know what I'm saying? Again, and to everybody who's in the, you know, the Connecticut area, you know, who's around T.P. Tomlinson, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he's going to be walking by himself, you know, with balloons. You know, buy him a Coke on me. You know what I'm saying? Cut him cash here and say, get him a Coke. Your boy said, Dr. J, man, I'm going to call. Y'all be easy.
Hey, whatever. You still got purple and black on your screen. And now another topic, too, I want to get to. I guess I got to say it for the cookout. Stephen A. Smith calling out Kevin Durant. Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's another one. That's what they're doing.
So, yeah, tomorrow I'm going to flame the hell out this grill. I'm sorry, Stephen A. You got to get out. I'll leave you alone. I don't say Chandler be calling you out, Stephen A. I'll be leaving you alone. But you calling my captain out, I got to tear you up tomorrow. I got to. Mr. Knight, I need a plug, close out, anything that you'd like to promote before we shut it down here at the wrap-up.
Well, I guess Nacho dropped, so, you know, back-to-back MVPs and
Listen. See, I was saving another for last, and he's still here.
I'm trying to do my closeout, bro.
No,
can I close out?
Yes,
thank you.
Yeah.
Let me see. I want to thank everybody that came. Rodri, Nacho, Sirius, Nas, Ty, all of the fans, whoever Ty's going out with today. You know, I want to talk about a lot of things, the Yankees. And I also want
to. People funny. Yo, Sports City, you know what? I'm about to mute everybody, yo. SportsCityShows.com. Word up. I'm about to just close this joint out. This is how they do it? Okay. You know what? Nacho, do what you got to do. I need to plug and close out. And we'll see you tomorrow here in the kitchen. I'm not taking this. I don't have to stand here for this. I know. I'm doing this when the Jets playing or the Steelers playing or the Falcons playing. I'll do this. Let's go.
You know what? I'll make it quick. I'm not doing a box on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You know, back-to-back MVPs, 4-0. The battle of the under 500 teams tonight. You know, we'll get that cracking in a minute. Just real quick, the games I called yesterday, St. Louis upset special. I'm glad I called that. And I would be remiss. I got a couple Oakland Raider fans who have compelled me to never, ever, 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 and I could do what Chandler did for an hour, say never, pick the Raiders again. Last week against Cleveland, I said they weren't able to show up because it was on the road. Raiders show up. This week, I say the Raiders are a different team. They don't show up. Last year, I say the Raiders are good. They stink up the bed. So I'm never picking the Raiders again. I'm done with that mess. No more me and that. And they want me to stay off of that bandwagon. So, you know, I'm just hitchhiking now on that Raiders stuff. Anything else, you know, it's a great weekend, great time for football. No interceptions. If Tom Brady would have played, he would have thrown one, so Aaron Rodgers would have been the only quarterback without any. Guess we'll have to wait for next weekend. Other than that, you know, it's been a great year so far. First quarter's over, 4-0. Let's keep going. You know, all we can do now is second quarter is try and be 8-0. After that, you know, just keep pushing. Thank you, guys. It's been a great year, a great show. I'm open to questions. If anyone has a question, we can go ahead and go right now. You know, a good little Q&A going on.
How many runs is Aaron Rodgers in the Packers on this year?
Thank you, God.
It's
a good show,
man. Yo, workcitychefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blog, the chef. I'll be back here tomorrow, 7 p.m., cooking this girl out. They already know. They think they're funny, Smart Baby. They think they're funny. They try to do this to me. Hey, come on. Hey, guys.
Numbers, fam. Jigga held you down 6 summers. Damn, where's the law?